And I told them, I'm telling you, no words can describe what only we Catholic believers can appreciate. What it means to be absolutely certain on revealed faith that I, a sinner, am once more in the friendship of God. Why am I sure? Because I've received absolution in the sacrament of confession. This peace of soul is priceless. It is absolutely irreplaceable. I have counseled too many people, thousands by now. Only a person who is absolutely sure that his or her sins are forgiven can have true peace of soul. No one else! Exclamation mark. No one else is at peace. No one, no one, no one, no one. God became man to give us this precious gift of peace. And the sacrament he instituted on Easter Sunday night, he gave us, repentant sinners, nothing less than a foretaste of heaven here on earth. We go on. First confession. It is the law of the Roman Catholic Church that the sacrament of penance should be received on reaching the age of reason. I repeat, it is the law of the Roman Catholic Church, taught over the centuries and then solemnly decreed by the Fourth Lateran Council in 1215. When the French Bishop Jansenius became a Calvinist heretic. Jansenism deeply infected millions of Catholics. At one time, some 50 dioceses in France had gone Jansenists. According to Jansenism, I quote, there had been no church for the last 500 years. Unquote. Why not? Because reconciliation of sinners through the sacrament of penance was made available even to children who had just reached the age of reason. As the Jansenists read the practice of the early church, only public penance was recognized, and only long and arduous works of satisfaction were accepted as necessary conditions for priestly absolution. As St. Vincent de Paul, the founder, as we know, of more than one religious community, he declared that many Catholics in his day did not make their first confession and first Holy Communion until their deathbed. It took some 200 years for these heretical ideas to be challenged by Pope St. Pius X. He literally reversed the trend set in motion by Jansenism, and restored the custom of the Church had urged on the faithful for centuries. Everyone should receive the sacrament of confession on reaching the age of reason, and always before receiving First Communion. This is a universal law of the Catholic Church. Why? Because these two sacraments, confession and communion, are the most powerful means of grace given to the Church by Jesus Christ. However, as we all know, errors do not die just because they are condemned by the Church. In our own day, the Holy See has had to put it mildly, remind the faithful that children should receive First Confession as early as possible, and always, the Latin is semper, always, always before First Communion. As I was writing a manuscript for this conference, I had in my hands a 40-page article and small print on First Confession, and the Holy See ordered me to write, and then ordered me to send a copy to every priest in the United States. I think it is worth quoting the closing words of this several thousand word manuscript. I quote, "We do not consider it coercion to suggest, have need be insist, that a child get a balanced diet of food or enough sleep and clothing. No parent believes that he or she is unduly tampering with a child's liberty by sending it, perhaps reluctantly, to school. A Catholic, therefore, cannot afford to follow a double standard where the spiritual needs of God's children are concerned. After all, they belong to him." Unquote. When I was ordered by the Holy See to write and send to every priest in America. How this needs to be stressed today. Priests tell me, instructing a couple for marriage, the priest asks them, "When was the last time you've gone to confession?" And not just a few, but many, on the eve of their marriage, tell the priest, both the man and the woman, "We have never been to confession." Talk about a hidden heresy. The future, I don't say, thriving of the Catholic Church, the survival of the Catholic Church, depends on the restoration of a deep, clear, strong faith in the sacrament of confession. How this needs to be preached from the housetops. Children should have access to the sacrament of peace as soon as they reach the age of discretion. When our Lord told his disciples, "Now the little children come to me," he was inviting them to confess, of course, their little failings, but then receive from him the grace that only he can give those who tell him they are sorry for having offended his loving heart. Our next subsection is frequent confession. judging by the drastic drop in confessions in countries like the United States. The erroneous opinion is gaining ground that confession is not to be received or made frequently. I may have told this story before of the young man coming to Chicago before Christmas. I happened to be there to begin a retreat on Christmas night. Your man told me he went to a church in the Loop, as they called it, in Chicago, downtown Chicago. Went into the confessional, told his sins, and then strongly reprimanded by the priest. Will you stop wasting a priest's time? Honey, you got certainly worth confessing. Don't you go to confession. And slammed the grill. Did I tell you what I did? I asked him, what did you do then? Well, then he went to the rectory. Pastor came to the door. He told the pastor what happened. And the pastor told him, the priest was right. Don't waste our time talking about your peccadilloes. So then, this is Father Hardin. I asked the priest's name. He remembered. I called up the pastor. And he had been on the stage for 6 years before entering the Society of Jesus. I told what I had just heard. Father, you didn't tell this young man not to waste a priest's time telling his peccadilloes, did you? He began to bawl me out. Then I went back to my normal voice. Father, I work for the Holy See. I would not want to say there's a priest in Chicago with your name who told a young man what you told this young fellow standing next to me. He blurted an apology. Please don't report me. I am deliberately including this episode in his conference. Our priests need to be ready and open of the curia of ours to your confessions, if need be, as the curia did for ours each day. What is frequent confession? In the mind of the church, frequent confession is at least every 2 weeks. We know this from the church's legislation on gaining a plenary indulgence. This requires, so the law states, receiving communion and going to confession within 8 days before or after the prayer of good work which carries a plenary indulgence is performed. In the present century, two popes have written extensively and urgently in favor of frequent confessions. Pope Pius XII and Pope Paul VI. I would like to summarize their teaching. First, by the frequent and reverent reception of this sacrament, we make more perfect the justification we first received in baptism. What does this mean? It means that every sacrament of confession makes us more and more holy. Christ thereby exercises his saving redemption on our souls, not only, mind you, not only by cleansing us of the sins we confess, but giving us grace we would not receive unless we had gone to confession. We become more sinless, more ready to enter heaven when our bodies die. And who in his right mind would think that he or she is sinless? Secondly, by the frequent and reverent reception of the sacrament of reconciliation, we become more and more like the sinless Jesus Christ. We become more like him in the power to practice the virtues that characterize Christ's visible life on earth. Hear it. God allows us to sin, and each of us is a sinner in a different way from everyone else. The virtues that God wants us to grow in, hear it, are the sins we most frequently and constantly commit. Our sins are the divine index of the virtues that God wants us to develop and grow in. By our frequent reception of this sacrament, we become more humble and better able to conquer our stupid and stubborn pride. I know what pride is, how well I know. And God allows us to sin to make us more humble. The sacrament develops in all of us what we mainly need, a deeper and stronger humility. The very humiliation of telling our sins to another sinner is God's way of telling us, if you confess, I will make you more humble. Again, through the frequent reception of the sacrament, we become more patient in bearing with pain and enduring the people that God puts into our lives. Sometimes I think pain should have a masculine and feminine gender. Most of our suffering, most of the difficulties and problems and tribulations that we have to endure on earth, pardon me for saying this, if your lives are like mine, come from other people. Of course, we pay others the favor of being corresponding graces of tribulation in their lives. never forget there are two kinds of graces. The pleasant, the enjoyable graces, and the painful, even agonizing graces that other people bring into our lives. Through this sacrament of peace and reconciliation, we become more conformed to Jesus by becoming more prayerful, in greater awareness of God's majesty, and therefore our need to pay attention to God, and greater awareness of our weakness and constant need for assistance from the Lord. I'm speaking from a 50-year priestly experience. This is one place where Jesus did not have to pray to overcome his sinful tendencies. Christ had no sinful tendencies. Had he prayed to inspire us to pray, and surely, how well I know from experience, unlike Christ, we have deep, strong, stubborn, sinful urges. Above all, through the frequent reception of this sacrament, we become more loving and giving and giving and giving ourselves according to the divine will, even as Jesus kept giving himself to the will of his Father, to the last drop of his blood. Finally, by the frequent and reverent reception of the sacrament of penance, we become more submissive to the voice of the Spirit dwelling in the depths of our hearts. Every single reason, motive I'm giving you, is a paraphrase from a Vicar of Christ. This Spirit, of course, is always speaking to us, but we're not always listening to him. We are so busy with so many things, so preoccupied with ourselves, our interests and concerns, is often not only the unseen, but I'm afraid, the unappreciated guest in our souls. As John the Baptist said of the Savior to his contemporaries, there is one in your midst whom you do not know. If we are going to be submissive to the Spirit of God, the first condition is that we are aware that there is a divine Spirit, yet is a voice, and that he is talking and speaking to us. And I'm speaking, I repeat, from a half a century of not just priestly observation, but priestly experience in the depth of my own soul. Christ is always speaking to us. What a safe statement. You're not always hearing him. This Spirit of God wants nothing more than for us to pay attention to him. Pay him, if you wish, the courtesy of recognizing that he is within us. The Spirit of God wants us to thank him for all the good things he has given us. He wants us to keep asking him. That is why he keeps creating problems. Did you know that? Every problem in our life is a divine invitation to speak to him. Except for the pain, or the sorrow, or the trial, or the temptation, we would be living in a dream world. A dream world of unreality, unaware that God is dwelling within us. And we need him because we are sinners. What God especially wants of us is to be submissive to his divine will, whether this be obedience to his commands, when he tells us, do this, or do not do that, or he gently invites us to do something more than we have to under penalty of sin. Hear it. There is no growth in sanctity except by a growth in the realization of our sinfulness. God has allowed us to sin so that coming to our senses, we will tell the Lord, dear God, have mercy on me. And as Christ, remember, asked Peter, do you love me more than these? We don't know, no way, do we know how deeply others have sinned. But we better know how much, how often, how constantly we are sinning. And this realization comes through God's grace, especially by the frequent reception of the sacrament of confession. Lord Jesus, you instituted the sacrament of reconciliation. We thank you from the depths of our souls for this gift. We believe, thanks to your mercy, that we are in your friendship. And we promise, dear Jesus, to love you more than we've ever loved you before, because we know, as sinners, you deserve our love beyond measure. Inspire us, dear Savior, to receive the graces that you offer in the sacrament of peace, so that growing in your peace here on earth, we may give ourselves completely to your divine heart. And as repentant sinners, we may then, when you call us into eternity, be embraced by you. We are prodigal children and enjoy your vision for ages without end. Amen. Thank you for listening.